Good morning and welcome to worship this morning, and we welcome any visitors in Jesus' precious name. We have a number of intimations to get through this morning. So firstly, there's that invite that's there always to join us for tea and coffee after the service. Great time for some fellowship, so just in the small hall at the back there. A tithing offering as well this morning, just for the work of the church. So if there's anything that you can put to that, that would be great. And thank you to everyone who organised and was at the coffee afternoon for Macmillan on Tuesday, and that was a £232 raised, so well done all. And this week the Guild are visiting Barony Craft Centre in West Kilbride on Tuesday afternoon, so anyone going to that should meet at the church at 1:30. And again, more information, but some great work. 75 filled shoeboxes, £220, and various knitted items last week at the Harvest Thanksgiving service, so that's been a great response. Thank you very much. All there. And again, the discipleship group on Tuesday morning in the small hall at 10:30. Another chance just to look at how we are in discipleship and what it means in relationship to God and to each other, and to look out now into the community, to look out into others. And on Wednesday, the get together down at Ardeer, the soup lunch. 11:30 to 2, just come along for some soup, sandwiches, home baking, tea, coffee. It's a chance to get together. If there's somebody you want to bring, somebody's not a part of the church, then just invite them and bring them. Be good. And a session meeting on 4th October at 7 p.m. in the small hall. And tonight at 7 o'clock there's the 120 years of the Killooning Abbey church organ musical celebration. So it's a free evening, and there'll be tea, coffee and birthday cake in the Abbey Hall after the concert. And this is a week on Wednesday, the 11th of October, 7 p.m. It's the Ayr Community Gospel Choir at Ardeer Church. Tickets £3, children £1, and you're all welcome. As I think we've said before, that there's going to be about 90 of the choir across the chancel at Ardeer, so we'll see how that works. And tickets on sale now for the Livingston Players. Well, say now, but after the morning worship. Adults £7, children £4, and I presume it's just CU, Ross, is it? Yeah, okay, thank you. A reminder too that this afternoon at 3 o'clock there's a service at Bonnie Leslie Court. So anyone wishes to come to that, you're very welcome. Just to spend some time there and share in worship. So our call to worship is from Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and evermore. And let's worship him now as we sing together. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Let's worship him.
Thank you.
Let's join our hearts and our minds together in prayer. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, Creator of heaven and earth, this day, as are all days, this moment, as are all moments, is a time to worship you and give you the praise and the glory, the honour. So, Lord, open our eyes to the glory of your presence. Attune our ears that we may hear your voice. Expose our minds to the challenge of your truth. Fill our lives with wonder, love, and praise. God of mercy and grace, you know all our faults and failings, the ones seen by all and the ones we hide. Father, we can be harsh in judging others and yet blind to our own faults. We can be quick to look for praise and recognition of what we do, and yet we can be slow to acknowledge the work of others. And so often, we remain silent rather than speaking words of encouragement. And Lord, there are times when we can be so quick to pull people down instead of affirming them, building them up. And so as we hope to be forgiven, teach us, Lord, also to forgive. And help us by our deeds and actions to show love one for another. Father, we come before you, turning away from all that is not of you and turning to your glory. So hear us in our prayers, and hear us as we pray together using the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. It's such a small word, and we'll be looking at it a wee bit later, but that idea of hope, that whole thing about hope that we have, and the way that we use the word hope, so often we hope for nice weather. We hope for a break in the rain. You know, we hope that somebody gets on well, we hope, and we use that kind of language. And yet the scripture in this psalm that we'll be looking at later takes us somewhere else, because our hope isn't in some sort of dream or some sort of illusion or some sort of good wish, but our hope is actually in the Lord. Our hope is in God. And the only way we can approach that is through prayer with him. To be in living relationship with him. To share our hopes and dreams with him. And accept that sometimes he just laughs. Sometimes he'll say yes. Sometimes he'll say no. And sometimes he'll say not yet. But it's about being at one with him. And also remembering what it is that he's done for us. Because there is our hope. And everything that he's done for us through Jesus Christ. He has loved us first. And he calls us to him. And he promises everything. and he says that, you know, obviously he said that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, for he so loved the world. He loved first and he gave Jesus so that all who believe would not perish but have eternal life. There is the hope that we have in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are our hope, and we praise your holy name. Remind us that as we face our days, our hope, our promise is in you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's sing together, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Let's worship him. Let's pray again. Almighty God, you're the one who loves us, the one who loves us first and loves us unconditionally. You, Lord, do not keep a record of our sins, and we put our hope in your word. Grant us forgiveness and allow us to know your overflowing supply of salvation bought for us through the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. My hope is built on nothing less. As we begin to look at what our hope looks like, here we sing, "My hope is built on nothing less." Let's worship him.
Thank you.
Our next psalm, our reading, the scripture reading, our next psalm 130, is as we go through these psalms of ascent and the psalms which we've been thinking about of the people going to worship and approaching the holy city, approaching the temple, and looking at through that idea of discipleship. So we hear Psalm 130.
Psalm 130, a song of ascents. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in this his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And may God add his blessings to that reading of his word and be He be all glory, honour and praise. So we take time to give thanks and to pray for others. And just that whole thing about looking around the world, we have our prayers on the prayer tree and we see what goes around in the world. And there'll be just a moment's silence maybe in the prayer that you can raise your own prayer silently. And just to share that with the Lord yourself. Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for the infinite number of ways in which you show your love for us. The beauty of your creation, the first flowers of springtime, the warmth of summer sunshine, the mellow fruitfulness of autumn, and the crisp clarity of winter days. We thank you, Lord, for the joy of family and friends, the shared laughter, the happy memories, the comfort we receive in times of sorrow and sadness, for the fellowship we find together, for the challenges which are presented to us, for the fun that we have when we working together, working to serve you. And Father, most of all, we thank you for sending your Son to live here on earth. He lived a perfect life, a life without blemish. Yet he understands our human faults and failings. In obedience, he went to the cross that we might know forgiveness. He rose again on the third day that we might have eternal life. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your limitless love. And now, O Lord, we pray, we lay before you our concerns for others, our concerns for the world. We pray for your church here in Scotland and throughout the world. And we ask that you will sustain and bless all who by their words and actions seek to spread the good news to all people. We pray for harmony amongst all who follow the way of Jesus Christ, for barriers between denominations to be swept away, and for all to be united in their aim to serve you and do your will. Father, as we pray for peace, for the healing of quarrels and disputes within families and between nations. As we pray, we offer our prayers for peace throughout the world, for an epidemic of brotherly love to sweep through the nations. And as we pray for all who are ill, for those who know physical pain, and for those who suffer mental torment. We remember those who, because of advancing years, are frustrated because their activities are curtailed. We pray for the bereaved, those trying to rebuild their lives after the loss of one for whom they cared dearly, but who face constant reminders that there is a gap which cannot be filled. Heavenly Father, there are many who have secret sorrows and anxieties which they feel they cannot share with others. May all who are weary and burdened with a load of care find comfort in the knowledge that you know their worries and that you are always with them. And Father, as we pray for those that you've put in our hearts and our minds. And in the silence now, we make our own prayer. Lord of all being, loving God, remember those whom we remember and forget none whom we forget. Hear this prayer offered in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. How lovely is thy dwelling place. Let's sing together to worship him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your Spirit is present with us now, and we thank you for all that he does for us and with us. We pray now, Lord, that your Spirit would open us to your word, our minds, our hearts, our eyes, our ears. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord our God. Amen. It doesn't take long to see the suffering in the world. It doesn't actually take much before we see how the world is. The world which is suffering, the world which is at loggerheads with itself, country against country, leader against leader. It doesn't take long before we can see how people's actions just cause more friction that's there already in a broken world. It doesn't take long to see how people suffer, whether it's because of hurricanes or floods or famines or people's actions. We see people suffering in the world. Some people who now have to go with of months without electricity because of a natural disaster. We see the world suffering, and we see countries suffering. And it doesn't take long just to look around us and to know that there's suffering within people, brought on by many different things. Maybe it's austerity. Maybe it's the benefit changes. Maybe it's the people who are being told that they're fit for work when nothing is further from the truth. But the suffering that gets brought on by these things. You know, we actually live in an age now where there is a call to tolerance, that we must be tolerant of everybody's views. We must be tolerant of what other people are thinking and what's right. We must be tolerant about many things, but actually there's an intolerance behind that tolerance. And that intolerance is the one that says, if you don't believe what I believe, you're wrong. And it actually goes a bit worse than that. If you don't believe in what I believe, then I'm going to do something about it. There is intolerance disguised as tolerance. But we live in this world, this broken world, this suffering world. And we are called to be disciples of God. We're called to be followers of Jesus. And we're called to love one another. But you know, in that calling, we were never promised an easy life. The song, I Never Promised You a Rose Garden. We were never promised an easy life. God has never promised us an easy life. He promises to be in our lives. He promises us abundance. But he never promises us an easy life. But you know, it's in that hope of God being there. It's in that hope which is watching and waiting in a living relationship with Christ the Saviour to look at God the Father in the power of the Holy Spirit that marks us as Christians. This is what makes the difference for us as disciples. You know, the psalmist here offers us four movements, four different movements just throughout the psalm. And in verses 1 and 2, he takes us from death to life. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your eyes be attentive. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Here the psalmist is in the depths of despair. He's in that pit. And it's almost as if the pit is just filling with water. And maybe at one stage it was reasonably easy to tread water, but all of a sudden it's got to that point where you're getting tired and you're struggling, your head bobs under from the depths of despair. But even in there is a wee bit of good news. Good news is there's a base, there is a bottom. Pit only goes so far. But here our psalmist says, out of the depths I cry to you. And he's crying to the Father, the Heavenly Father. He hears our cries. He hears our prayers. That's the psalmist's prayer right off, that God, you will hear my cry. You'll hear my prayer. And you know, God does. I've said, the answer is maybe yes, no, or not yet. And even I just get the feeling that sometimes when I kind of pray and tell God what I want to do, I can almost hear him laugh and say, really? As he redirects me. But he hears our prayers. That's a promise. That's part of the hope that we live in. There's a God who hears our prayers. And we can pray from the depths of despair, because while he's never promised us an easy life, he's promised to be with us for all age. So he's promised to be there with us. And from the depths, he hears our cries. So that's from death to life. And then he takes us from guilt to forgiveness. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. If you kept a record. One of the things that I had to do within the charge room at police headquarters when I was working there is get the previous convictions of people who were arrested. Check first to see if there were any, and then get them. And we used to be able to have to put them at the back of the reports. And for some, there might be nothing. For some, there might be a few. But some, there would be a whole list of them. That's keeping a record. That's what that's about, is here it is, it's all recorded. And you know, the psalmist is saying, Lord, if you kept a list of all our psalms, all our sins, if you kept a list of all our sins, what would that be like? Just always coming back to bite us, always coming back to be there, always marking us and judging us. And yet you, Lord, offer forgiveness. But with you there is forgiveness. God comes and he offers that forgiveness. He gives us that forgiveness. All these sins, all these previous convictions are wiped out. But it's more than just that kind of wiping out. We need to really get our heads around what that means. God himself casts our sins behind his back. He blots them out of his book. He casts them into the sea. This is what Micah says. chapter 7, verse 19. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. This is what God does for each one of us as he gives us forgiveness. He holds them against us no more. You know, this is a costly blessing. This is a really costly blessing. This has cost God himself, his son Jesus Christ, who came and died on the cross, rose again so that we might be forgiven. Jesus took all these sins onto himself, the sins of the past, the sins of the future, he took onto himself and dealt with for us so that we can move from guilt to forgiveness, so that we with reverence can serve him. So we're taken from death to life, from guilt to forgiveness, but we're also, verse 5 and 6, taken from darkness to light. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Watching, waiting, waiting for the new dawn, waiting for the light in the darkness. He brings us from that dark world into a place of light. In his forgiveness, he brings us into a new day. We can be renewed day by day. And he brings us through forgiveness into a new dawn, to a new day, to a new way. The idea of the watchman waiting, watching in the dark. Many, many years ago, as a young officer, I was called to a certain house. I was on night shift. I had just started. And the call was to go and attend there. There had been a murder discovered earlier in the evening. And I knew, because I was fairly young in service, I was certainly not being called on for my skills in investigation. But I was to be the watchman, the sentry, out the back door, because we had to watch the house until it was to be released. And so I was told that my post was at the back door outside the house, and I was also told the only way without climbing the wall was to go through the house. And so I said, so where did the guy get in? He says, oh, through the back door. You'll see the broken window. And so I went down. It was now coming on for midnight. And I went through the house and out the back door. And there was a long garden reaching down with a beautiful view over the Tay. And I sat at the seat beside the door, and it was pitch black. And I could hear things happening out in the street. There were still people going about. And then it went quiet. And there was me, my radio, my torch, and the darkness. And I remember that. I remember that. And some hours later, the sun starts to rise. The light comes in. It's a new dawn. It's a new day. And I felt so terribly good for seeing that light appear. But that was a long night. And to watch in the darkness is difficult if we never knew there was light coming. But you know, God calls us to light. Jesus is the light of the world. He said that himself. And so the watchman watches in the dark and sees the new light rising. That forgiveness brings us out of darkness to light. And we're brought from death to life, from guilt to forgiveness, from darkness to light. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Verses 7 and 8. And they bring us from bondage to freedom. It was God himself who took his people out of Egypt, out of captivity. It's God who takes his people out of captivity, wherever they have been. He led them into exile, but he brought them out of slavery. He brought them out of bondage. And he redeems his people because with him is unfailing love. He loves us first. And he loves us with an unconditional love. And he redeems us. You know, redeeming means setting someone free by paying a price. The redemption was not free. It's free for us. But God paid the price. Jesus Christ on the cross. To set us free. To free us from our forgiveness. Free us in forgiveness. To free us from our sins. He sets us free. He brings us from bondage to freedom. In Isaiah 61, beautiful words that have meant much to me throughout my time, not just in ministry, but in my approach to ministry. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. It's God who set the captives free, God who led his people, it's God who led them to the promised land, and it's God who leads us into eternal life through Jesus Christ. So we're taken from death to life, from guilt to forgiveness, from darkness to light. We're taken from bondage to freedom. The psalmist here refers to God 8 times. And while we only see it in the psalm as Lord or God, actually in the Hebrew, the different names are used. Jehovah, the God of the covenant, 5 times. Adonai, the master, the holy name, 3 times. The one who forgives sin is the character of God. The one who forgives sin. The one who comes to those who wait and watch for him. The one who is characterized by steadfast love and redemption. The one who will redeem Israel. The one who makes a difference. The one who acts positively towards a people. The one who is not indifferent, who is not rejecting, who is not ambivalent or dilatory, the one who does not act arbitrarily or in fits and starts, the one who is not stingy, providing only for bare survival. God promises abundance in life through Jesus. promises us forgiveness of sin. He promises us eternal life. He's redeemed us. And we live in that hope. But that's not about doing nothing. We live in that hope in doing what we do in our everyday lives, being disciples, followers of God. God never promised it easy. He never promised us a rose garden. He never promised us an easy time. But in our lives, He is there for each one of us. Whether it's a good time, a difficult time, a time of despair, a time of illness, time in the pit, God is there with us through Jesus Christ. He takes us from death to life, from guilt to forgiveness, from darkness to light, from bondage to freedom. And we have done nothing to buy that or deserve it. It has been given to us freely by the Father through the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit, because the Father loves us first. All we have to do is hold our hands out and say thank you. Amen. To God the Father, who first loved us and made us accepted in the Beloved, to God the Son, who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, to God the Holy Spirit, who sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts, be all love and all glory for time and for eternity. Amen. And we continue with our offering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we lay before you our offerings of money and ask that they be used to further your kingdom here on earth. We offer the gifts and talents you have given us, the skills we have acquired. We offer our whole lives to your service. Help us to forget ourselves, but never to forget you, so that all we do is done for you in your name. And Lord, we pray that we will always remember whose we are and whom we serve. Amen. Love divine, all loves excelling, let's worship Him again. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you, now and until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore.